I love this time of year, and I'm very thankful. Excuse me, Sister Rhonda. Very thankful to be able to go to youth camp still with the young people. It's one of the perks of this position. I'm thankful for that. I love youth camp. I love the excitement. I love the energy. I love the new experiences that you can feel, live in, most importantly, bring home. Hallelujah. But Sister Norma, I'm convinced I don't have to go to Granite City, Illinois to be in the presence of the Lord. Tonight, church, I'm convinced that even in a week from now when we descend upon our own youth camp in Southern Ohio, I don't have to wait until then to be in the presence of the Lord. You see, He's spoken tonight, and He said that if we need anything, He's just asking for us to move tonight, church. I don't think that's too hard. You know, Brother Steve, there have been so many times where I've left service and felt just ashamed that I didn't obey Him, and knew that if I would have, God would have done something great. I hate the feeling of knowing that, Brother Burr, I wasn't obedient to the presence of the Lord. And so tonight, I just want to ask one more time, if there's anybody that you know God is speaking to your heart, and you've not yet obeyed Him in asking for salvation, I want to invite you to come tonight. I can't explain with words the change that'll happen in your life. I can't explain to you how good it is to know Christ as your Savior. I can't explain to you tonight the peace that comes with Jesus Christ. But I can tell you out of experience in my own life, it's as good as they've ever tried to explain it. It's better than anyone's ever tried to give description to. It's the change that only Christ can bring. Is there anyone tonight? Church, let's just bow our heads one more time. Is there anyone, young or old? You say, Brother Brian, I'm just not ready. If Jesus was to come tonight, I want to be ready. Is there anyone tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, help us to be ready. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. These altars are always open tonight. I want you to know that. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you if you're in the middle of service and he'll tell you you've missed it. If you're here, you have an opportunity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to turn our heart's attention to the book of Joel and to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Our primary text will be the book of Acts, chapter 2, but I'm going to begin reading in the book of Joel. I was reading this afternoon the first chapter in the book of Joel, verse 2. Pastor touched on this today in his message. Yes, we know there is an Antichrist. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know that the enemy is still out to steal and to kill and to destroy. We understand that, and we equip ourselves, Brother Brad, according to the Word of God. We get ourselves ready. I really think that's what youth camp's all about. Just getting us more equipped. I think that's what church is all about. Sometimes we just need to put the armor back on. Maybe it's a little loose. That's why we come to church, and the Holy Spirit just starts tightening up that armor again, and we get the word out, and we see that the sword is still just as sharp today as it was when the Lord inspired the men to pen the words. And we know tonight that as we come into this house, we've already experienced the moving of the Holy Ghost and His anointing as it floods the house. There's a divine difference that takes place. You see, when it's just men or women singing, singing, that's talent, but there's nothing behind it. But oh, the difference when the Holy Ghost descends in the house and all of a sudden, ordinary men and women become powered under the Spirit of God. Lives are changed. Hearts are mended. People become new all over again. Why? Because the Holy Ghost comes into the house. He's here tonight to minister. I had this burden on my heart today as we spoke with Pastor this afternoon. I just want to see Holy Ghost revival. That's all I want to see again. I was contemplating if we were to pass the mic around tonight and get with our elders and those who have experienced things that we've heard stories about. They'd have great stories to tell. Sister Rose, do you have any stories to tell tonight of maybe a revival that you've been in, that God's been there?
I won't stand up. I'll just sit down. Yes, is when, I don't know what year, but it's been a way back. And we were in a 9-week revival, and that was with Sister Patrick down at Loam Avenue, the first church. And two of my brothers got saved. And I remember I was just like a teenager, and the power was so great. We would go home from church, and we had three brothers at home and then us four girls. Yes. And when we had come home from church, why, the power was still on us girls because our brothers weren't saved. And we would pray and pray. And after we got home, and our brother Ray, he said, "Do you girls really have to pray all the time?" And he said that he would put his hands over his ears so he couldn't hear his sisters praying for him. And it was just a wonderful experience. We didn't go to church and say, "Well, I wonder who's going to get saved tonight. How many are going to get saved?" We went expecting, and it was just wonderful. But you know what? The Lord is the same today than He was way back then.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful. I had two brother-in-laws and two brothers that got saved out of that revival. And I know the Lord still, He still saves and delivers. Hallelujah. I love Him.
Yes. Hallelujah. Brother Dale, would you mind to testify tonight? Have you been in any revivals where the Lord has just moved? Would you mind to tell us tonight?
We was in a revival in Xenia, Ohio, and it seemed like the Spirit of God just got to moving in such of a mighty way, but the power was in the altar. Yes. And there was one dear brother there that he got to smacking his lips together, and he said, "It's like honey out of the honeycomb."
Yes.
And I'm telling you, church, the women would come to church, and before there was ever a song sung, before there was ever a word said, they would come to church shouting through the door, speaking in other tongues.
Yes.
I'm telling you, we say we want what they had in the old time day. If we want what they had, we're going to have to do what they did.
Yes.
And that's to hit the altar and pray until God answers our prayers.
Yes, amen. Sister Chrisman, would you mind to testify tonight? Hallelujah.
I was thinking a little bit ago when you were giving the altar service how you're so, I was almost pleading. I didn't see a lot of response. How different that it used to be.
Yeah.
I remember people would run to the altar crying.
Yes, I cried.
So under conviction, they were crying.
Yes.
Run to the altar.
I cried.
And I wonder sometimes, what is it going to take?
Yes.
What is it going to take to stir our hearts?
Yes.
Maybe they don't realize how close it is, Brian.
Yes.
It's so very close, the coming of the Lord.
Yes. Right.
And if we're not ready when He comes, it's going to be bad.
Yes.
We need, the Bible says, how's that go? Pray, Paul. My memory has gotten pretty bad. About the coming of the Lord.
Pray that you be ready.
Be ye ready. It was John, wasn't it? Be ye ready.
Be ready.
For in such an hour as you think not,
yes,
the Son of Man cometh.
Yes.
He's coming.
Hallelujah.
And I thought a while ago one of the songs they sang of just beautiful about the streets of gold.
Yes.
Those will be wonderful. But that's not what I'm looking for.
Yes.
I want to see Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, amen.
I want to see Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The one that died for me.
Yes.
That cruel, terrible death.
Yes.
On the cross.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think of that. I can't really think of it.
Right.
When I do, I think about spikes being put through your hands.
Yeah.
And that terrible suffering that he died for me.
Yes.
For all of us,
yes.
That we can go to heaven. And I just appreciate that
yes.
so much. I appreciate what he's done for me.
Yes.
I'll never be able, with all I can do, to ever pay him back.
Yes.
But I just love him
yes.
for it and appreciate
Hallelujah.
It. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, I can't help but feel that what Brother Hurst was preaching this morning, that we're about to see God do a work in our hearts. He's getting folks ready. Listen, I've heard stories after stories. We could pass the mic around tonight from one side of the room to the other, and we'd hear about how God has moved, about the way that He's delivered, raised folks from the dead, mended broken relationships, healed the body, saved a soul, delivered off of drugs or alcohol or addictions. We've heard about it, and yet I feel in my heart that what Joel was prophesying was not only for my grandparents. And what Joel had prophesied was not only for my parents, but what Joel prophesied was for me as well and for my future children. Listen, church, we're about to see God get a hold of folks and change them. Why? Not because of talent, not because of ability, but because the Holy Ghost is about to get involved. Hallelujah. In the book of Joel, chapter 1 and verse 2, he wrote, "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it." Hallelujah. "And let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white." Oh, help us, Father. You see, when Joel began to start his prophecy, it didn't sound very good. Brother Bill, there's times where the prophet had to start out bleak before he could get to the blessing. Hallelujah. Tonight, church, I want to preach on a Holy Ghost revival. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift up our hands tonight and ask the Lord to help us? Heavenly Father, inspire us by your word. Minister to your people tonight, from the youngest to the oldest. Place a burden in our hearts for revival. God, plant the seed of desire, the seed of burden for revival in our hearts. God, minister. Anoint me under your spirit. Use me for your glory. Anoint these altars. Have your way, Holy Ghost. We give you everything right now. Oh, and in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. Joel said, "Hear this, old men, and tell your children, and remind them to tell their children, and tell them, tell their children." There's a nation coming up. There's a darkness coming towards the land. Brother Hurst took care of this part this morning and warning us that there is a darkness that is still prevalent in our society and in our world. We know that we're fighting. We know that there are dark days that surround us. I'm concerned not only for myself, but for my wife, and to let you know that Sister Sarah and I are expecting our first child. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. She's doing fine. Hallelujah. And but I have a burden on my heart for my future children. I get alarmed today thinking about my family, thinking about our youth group. I get alarmed today thinking about young relationships that are starting. I was looking as we were driving down the road to Indianapolis. There's the most terrible advertisement sign. It's just poor taste in my opinion, but it's a man standing inside of a coffin. He's standing up with his arms out. And I don't want to be disrespectful to this situation, but the sign says pre-planning is a party. That's just not right. You know? But the Lord spoke to me and said, pre-planning is wisdom. It may not be fun, but it's smart. Church, if I could borrow that sign and tell you that your hearts better be ready, pre-planning is wisdom. It's what the Word says. And Joel was telling the nation, listen, there's troubling times ahead. And as he begins to develop this sermon, and as he's bringing it forth, and he's talking about how that there's going to be desolation, there's going to be dark times, there's going to be things happen that you're going to have no control over. But what does he say here in verse 14? Sanctify ye a fast, and call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. What did he say? We know it's coming. Gather together. It's time to pray. Hallelujah. I so appreciate what these folks said tonight. Listen, church, you're not going to hear any better sermon than what our elders told us just a little bit ago. If we're to see revival in the darkest of days, if we're to see the hand of God move upon the church, it will only come from a heart that beats and burns for revival to come through prayer. From our elders, I'm so thankful that you gather on Tuesday morning. I don't have opportunity to be here like most who work and have jobs or school or whatever the situation. But for you who pray, thank you. Thank you. For you grandmothers who call upon the name of your grandchildren and your children and their great-grandchildren, thank you. For you moms and dads who lay awake at night and pray for revival to come so that your children will see the hand of God at work, thank you. And for our children who call out to God for revival to come in this day, thank you. You see, it's the only catalyst that will bring about revival. It's the only experience that will change a generation. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we know that Jesus said in chapter 1, let's go back to chapter 1 and verse 8. Hallelujah. He said, let's go to verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, their minds are not really focused upon what Christ is about to do. But verse 7 says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. You see, the Lord understood the human need. He said in John, I will leave, but I will send you another comforter. He knew how dependent humanity was upon the involvement and the activity of a divine creature, and that a divine supernatural being is God. And he knew that as he walked this earth, they would need something else. When he left to go to heaven again, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Church, we've been given a promise tonight that we who remain have the ability to have the power of the Holy Ghost demonstrated in our lives. It was not only for the disciples. It wasn't only for the church that was in the book of Acts. God has given us the ability to be purified and sanctified by the Holy Ghost and to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. What will happen when we have Holy Ghost revival? Holy Ghost revival will bring all the glory back to Christ. Hallelujah. In the book of John, he said, the Holy Ghost shall testify of me. He said, the Holy Ghost will bring all things to our remembrance. Sister Crispin, I appreciated what you said about Christ. When the Holy Ghost gets involved, you'll see a return to our focus being upon what God did for us. You'll see a return to our remembering what God did on the cross. Young people, that ought to be the gauge of what we do in our generation of those who say that they're having revival. Is there any call or reference back to what Christ has done for you and I? In every instance where the Holy Ghost has been manifested throughout time, we have seen that it has always drawn the attention back to Jesus Christ and his suffering on the cross. Tonight, church, when we need it, when we say we want revival, what we really are saying is that we want a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ, a fresh vision. Hallelujah. I need a fresh vision all the time of what Jesus did for me. And when I think about what the Lord has done, and I think about where he brought me from, that's what the song said, I can't help myself. I've got to praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Holy Ghost revival will bring about the glory back to Christ. It'll also inspire the believer to be a witness for Christ in our local community, in our schools, our jobs, our homes, or around the world in missions. When the Holy Ghost brings revival, the Holy Ghost will bring about a desire to witness. You cannot be full of the Holy Ghost and sit without there being a desire in your heart to minister to those around you. Here in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, the Bible said that 120 were gathered in that upper room. They were obeying Christ's command. But when the Holy Ghost fell, yes, we know they spoke in tongues. Yes, we know that the fire sat upon each of them. Yes, we know that there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. But Brother Ryan, they did not stay in the upper room. They came down to where the people were. Hallelujah. I get very interested when there are so-called moves of God that spur about no desire to reach the lost. I am concerned when we hear stories of revival and yet no souls are added to the kingdom, Brother Kevin. That's not the way that God intended it. I am so thankful for the Lord and the fact that he gives us moments like this to be in his presence, to get filled to overflowing, to get re-energized, reinvigorated, revived in our hearts. But church, we cannot live in this sanctuary alone. There are moments where we must go our separate ways and interact with the world around us. They need Jesus Christ. Oh, I love how the story said that when they came down from the upper room, that there were men and women all from around the world. They were in Jerusalem. Men and women of different faiths, different backgrounds, different nationalities. And yet the Bible said, Brother David, when they came out of that upper room, they were perplexed and confused. And they said, what meaneth this? How hear we every man in our own language? What is this? They were glorifying God. They were talking about the works that God was doing and going to do. They were talking about Jesus. And yet every nationality that was there had somebody to tell them. And that somebody was telling them through the unction of the Holy Ghost. Tonight, church, we all go our separate ways. Tonight when we leave, you're going to go back to your job tomorrow. I'm sorry. You're going to go back to your different places of home life. You're going to go back. But are you taking the Holy Ghost with you? You see, when they left the upper room, they had been changed and transformed, and the Holy Ghost was with them. Hallelujah. Are we reaching the lost? That's the first sign of revival, if we reach the lost for Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost will magnify Christ to us. We said this just a little bit ago, but we will see all over again and remember it was Christ that saved us. It was Christ that died on a cross. It was Christ that rose from the dead by his own power. Muhammad can't say that. Buddha can't say that tonight. The Dalai Lama can't say that tonight. Jesus Christ is the only one that can proclaim that he raised from the dead by his own power. He raised from the dead after he died an awful death. But he is the one who saved you and I. Hallelujah. He is the one that changed us. He's the one that transformed us. He is the one who delivered us. The Holy Ghost revival will bring about a remembrance of what Christ has done for you and I. We also see that a Holy Ghost revival will change the believer. Hallelujah. These were disciples that Jesus commanded to go and to tarry. We know that the Bible says that over 500 saw Christ resurrected from the dead. Only 120 were in the upper room. We don't know all the reasons why the other 380 weren't there, but we do know that those who believed and those who obeyed were transformed for all of eternity. I am here tonight to tell us all over again, and we know this, but if we will get into the presence of God, if we will get our young people into the presence of God, if we will get our moms and dads into the presence of God, if we will get our grandparents, if we will get our neighbors and our lost friends and family into the presence of God, it will change us for eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit changes those in whom he dwells. He sanctifies us and cleanses us. I've told this story before, but there was a moment when I was in college, and a young lady was speaking very inappropriately and offered herself in the middle of class, offered herself to me. I didn't know what to say. I mean, that was culture shock as it is, coming from a graduating class of 8, Sister Norvell, to 25,000. Yeah, that's a little bit different number system there. But it was different. Oh, Steve, I didn't know what to say. I was embarrassed right there in the middle of class. Immediately, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and began to speak through me that to that young lady about purity and about how God had changed my life. It wasn't me, Brother Aaron. I honestly had no idea what to talk about, but the Holy Spirit knew what needed to be said. You see, when we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's not a one and done. It ought to be an every day, because we never know the battles that we're going to face. We have no idea what's going to happen down the road. We don't know tonight what could happen in our lives. Young people, we got to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's great to dance. I love to speak in tongues. I love worshiping. I love being Pentecostal. But it is so much more than an emotional experience. It is an indwelling that transforms you at the very core of who you are. He will change you. He'll change the way you talk, change the way you think, change the way you interact, change the way you work. He'll change everything about you. His holiness changes you and purifies you. It'll change the believer. The Holy Spirit is two parts, holy being pure, and that Spirit being alive and full of power. Jesus said, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. There is a power in the Spirit of God. Church, are you thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight? Hallelujah. It's the power that gives deliverance. It's the power that gives the change. It's the power that gives authority over the enemy. It's the power that gives authority over sickness. It's the power that gives authority in the name of Jesus Christ. There is a power with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And it's a power that we desperately need in this last hour. Oh, church, we've got to be full. I believe you are. But we must continue to hunger. We must continue to seek after that life-changing power. When a soul walks in, Sister Chrisman, it may not be as easy as it used to be, but I still believe there's enough power in the blood of Jesus Christ and in the Holy Ghost that when they get into this sanctuary, God's going to change them. Hallelujah. A change in the believer. They said that signs followed them that believed. Miracles happened all throughout the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament. You hear stories about how God performed miracles through the believers. It's hard today sometimes. I'll be transparent with you. It's hard for this generation to believe because they don't see it. And I know that faith comes not just because, you know, you believe. But church, we've got to have the power. And I believe that when the Lord moves and when the Lord gets involved, it'll change lives. We don't have to fear cancer. We don't fear death. We don't fear the enemy. Because we know there is a power in the name of Jesus Christ and through the authority of the Holy Spirit, He's going to do the work in these last days. Can you say amen? And lastly tonight, there's a change in the unbeliever. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If we can't have anything that's going to change those outside of here, we ought to close the doors. But we do have something to offer. That's why, young people, I would love to just remind you again tonight, it's not better out there in the world. This is the best place you'll ever be in your life, inside the house of God. We have something to offer. There's a world out there. That congregation that gathered around those 120, they were confused and perplexed. And they said, we don't know what this means. And Peter standing up, this is the same Peter who before has been a liar, he's been a cusser, he's been just, you know, me, you know, he's been changed though by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what will happen in the believer. I forgot to mention that part. He'll change you so that you who once had no part being with God, He'll transform you in a moment, and now you're standing up preaching the gospel. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ. And Peter stands up and he begins to tell them what the prophet Joel said. Now I started off by saying he started pretty gloomy. But then Joel said, hallelujah. Oh, he already said it's going to be bad. He said there's going to be a nation that rises up. It's going to devour. But he said it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Just a few verses later, Peter begins to preach Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. Oh, he's preaching the gospel now. It's amazing what will happen when the church just does what the Holy Spirit wants it to do. First they witnessed, and then they preached the truth. They preached the gospel. Brother Aaron, what happens? The Bible said in that moment that Peter got done preaching, he said it was you that killed him. He said it was you that put him in the grave. But it was for you that he went there in the first place. And it was for you that he rose again. It's for you that he's coming back. What happened? They asked Peter a question. I love this. They said, what shall we do? Hallelujah. This world right now, no matter how dark it may seem, this world is crying out, what shall we do? And Peter, being full of the Holy Ghost, answered them. He said, repent. And be ye baptized. And after you do those things, you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Brother Brad, it was good back then. It's still good today. That's why we've got to bring the lost in. That's why we've got to reach them. Because when the Holy Ghost gets involved, he'll change their lives. Hallelujah. Music, would you come? I love how the second chapter ends. Hallelujah. It says they gladly received his word and were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 500 saw Jesus, 120 went, but out of that 120, 3,000 came. I can't help but wonder if all 500 would have been there, would the number have been greater? But church tonight, we can't worry about that. All we got to worry about is how many folks are in this room tonight. Are we going to reach the world around us for Jesus Christ? I believe that when we enter into that lot on Sidewalk Sunday School, it's more than just a clown. It's more than a skit. It's more than just candy. It's the Holy Ghost working. It's more than just a Wednesday night class. It's the Holy Ghost working. It's more than just a Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. It's the Holy Ghost working to get a hold of this generation. Hallelujah. The Bible said that they're added into the kingdom as many as should be added every day. More and more. Just a few chapters later, the Bible said these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Whew. Church, I don't know how much global impact we might have, but I can tell you there's a footprint going into Drexel from this church. Hallelujah. That's what God called us to do. That's what we've got to keep doing. Glory. This is funny. This week, I needed to go to the courthouse. I didn't do anything wrong. All right. I was there for trial, and I was sitting in the lobby. This little boy walks in with his mom, and my head was down. I was looking at my phone, and he said, "I know you." Wow. Okay. I looked up. It was one of the kids. All right. Smart man, David Dalton and Harley's brother. David walks right up to me, and he said, "Now, I'm kind of surprised to see you here." Hallelujah. I thought that was a great sermon title. I was glad though, Brother Steve. He said, "I'm surprised to see you here." And he sat by me and we talked for about 20 minutes. His mom sat across from me. Oh, I couldn't have asked for a better opportunity. You know what he told me? I asked him, I said, "What are you going to do this summer?" He said, "Oh, I can't wait to get to Camp Dove." He said, "It's my favorite place." Oh, there's a difference. Church, there's a difference. We can't give up now. I don't know what other churches are doing. Quite honestly, I'm to the point where we just shouldn't even care. Let us just be the church. Let us minister to the world around us. Let's see what God would do when His people are obedient and He gets involved and just starts changing folks. Listen, we have got the answer this world needs, and it's a Holy Ghost revival. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When He told me that, I thought, Lord, it's working. It's whoever's working on Wednesday night, I want you to know it's working. Whoever's driving the vans and the bus, it's working. Whoever's coming out to Sidewalk Sunday School, it's working. We had the greatest nursing home service this past week that we've had in years. There was at least 20 saints there, and they are loving the fact that God is moving in the nursing home. Hallelujah. God is wanting to work. Whether it's in a child or whether it's in an elderly individual that just wants to have somebody to talk to, God's wanting to work. Are we going to be obedient? Young people, I know we're going to camp. I can't wait to see what God does at Granite City this week and what God does at Southern and Camp Blessing and Camp Dove. Hallelujah. We got a packed summer, but I'm ready to see what God is going to do tonight so that when we get out to camp, we're already full of the Holy Ghost and overflowing. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have anything else to say. I just want more of Him. If you want more of Him tonight, let's come around these altars. And if you see a young person, why don't you put your hand on them while they're up here and pray for them, that God will minister to them this week. Let's come all across the house. Oh, do you want revival? I know you do. David said in the 86th Psalm, oh God, wilt thou not revive us again? Oh, I believe the answer is yes. I will revive you again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He'll change your life tonight, young people, if you get full of the Holy Ghost. Mom, Dad, a lot of the stress, He'll take it away. You get filled tonight with the Holy Ghost. Oh, grandparents, we still need you to lead us in worship. We still need you to tell us the stories of what God has done. Oh, we still need to hear them, because when we hear them, it makes us hungry. Oh, we need revival. We need revival. We need revival.